It is from one of them. You don't have to go there yet. Sorry, I'm a little hot here. One of them is from Matthew 8:23 through 27. Another version is of the same story is in Luke 8:22 through 25. But the one we're going to concentrate on this morning, same story, just this is a version I'm going to use, so we're all on the same page, is from Mark 4:35 through 41. It's talking about Jesus calming the storm. But while you're turning there, again, it's Mark 4:35 through 41. While you're turning there, one of the first things I learned when I became a Christian is that, hey, sometimes there's stories in there told more than one time. And I asked, I was like, why'd they put it in there twice? Or why'd they put it? It's like, actually, it's in there three times. And he says, well, did you ever have anybody tell you something twice because you weren't paying attention the first time? I said, yeah. And the gentleman said, sometimes you have to be told three times to be on top of it and understand it and grasp it fully. And maybe three times to get you to pay attention to it and listen. So, anyway, we're going to start in Mark 4:35 through 41. I'm reading out of the NIV, so if it's not exactly the same as yours, it's probably why. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, this is Jesus talking, by the way. He said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats also with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him? Now, basically they were out all day, okay? Jesus was telling stories all day long, talking to people, probably healing them and having them surround them. You figured they got to be tired. But he's like, all right, we're done. Let's go over there, like way over there so that I can get some rest. I'm beat. This is Dave's version, by the way. Okay. But it sounded like there were other boats with him, so there were probably a couple people out in the water. I don't know if they were fishing or just trying to get a better view. But as they started heading across, it got pretty stormy. So much so that more water was going in the boat than was going out. And the boat started to sink. Now, Jesus, let me ask, who's the Navy guy? Any Navy guys in here? The stern, it's the back, right? It's the front. Okay, it's the front. See, I don't even have a clue. Anyway, the stern is where Jesus was.
I was incorrect.
You were incorrect. I'm incorrect quite often.
It was a while since I was.
Okay. It is the rear of the boat. Okay, so it's in the back of the boat. Back by where the motor is, I guess, right?
Yes.
No motor. Where are we? So he's taking a nap. Not to compare myself with Jesus, but if you've ever been to a wrestling tournament, I used to wrestle, and during the big, long tournaments, I'd always take a nap in between my matches. And there's all kinds of whistles and craziness and people hollering and running around, and it's total chaos. But I would just crawl under the bleachers and take a nap. Yeah, under the bleachers were all the gum and soda spills and popcorn and whatever else is down there. I'd just crawl under, put my one arm under my head and one arm over my head and take a nap so I didn't come up with gum in my hair. Didn't matter what was going on, who was next to me, doing whatever. Didn't matter. So it sounded like Jesus was kind of tired like that. But his buddies were panicking. They weren't liking the storm, and they thought for sure they were all going to die. And somebody should wake Jesus up because he probably has to get out of the boat too. And they said, "Jesus, don't you care? We're all going to die." Jesus, just like kind of would expect, got up and said, "Enough! Calm down." And yeah, he was talking to the wind and he was talking to the waves, but he might as well have been talking to you and me too if we were in that boat. And he kind of gets on him. Says, "Hey, guys, haven't you learned anything? We've been just teaching this stuff all day long. And then they really got upset. Because if somebody just turned to the wind and turned to the waves and said, "Knock it off," and they did, you might need to change your shorts, because that doesn't happen every day. And it certainly didn't for these guys. Anyway, disciples were probably asking themselves, how could he do this? How's this guy doing that stuff? All right, is he the David Copperfield of the day? Good question. Jesus had authority. And according to your outline, I'm going to give you a couple reasons. Reason Jesus had authority to do this, A, is he is God. He is God. And when you get done writing that one, you can put your pencils down, because that's good enough for me. We could be done today. But I got another reason there. And we might as well fill that one in while we still have it handy. Reason B, if you think back, he spoke them into existence. So this is a real easy one to find in the Bible. Go to the beginning. Genesis 1. We'll start in verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water.' So God made a vault and separated the water from under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day." And we're getting to the good stuff here. Verse 9 says, "And God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear.' And so it was. God called the ground land, and he gathered the waters and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with a seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruits with seeds in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Now, letter C on your outline, let's just recap. Jesus had authority because he is God. Pretty good one. He spoke them into existence. I say C is they recognized his voice. Because they were there at the beginning, unlike you and I. They were there. Now, this is a nice story and all, but how does it apply to us? See, creation didn't stop there. Let's take a look at day six. I hope you have. Day six is in Genesis 1, verse 24. We're going to go through 31. Verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with a seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. See, God didn't just speak the wind and the waves into existence. Let's take a look just real quick back at verse 26 through 28 that we just read. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the earth, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. See, number two, there's reasons that we have authority to do this. Letter A is, we are made in his image, in his likeness. We are made in his image and his likeness. Now, one thing I want to point out is it says, it kept saying throughout all the different days of creation, it said, God said, And then it happened. This is the first time, right here in verse 26, it's the first time it says, let us make mankind in our image. Maybe it's because we, people, mankind, maybe it's because we're the only one that can have a relationship with all three of them. God the Father, Jesus the Son and our Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, guiding us and empowering us. That brings us to the second reason. The reasons that we have authority to do this: we were made in His image and in His likeness. B is we have the Holy Spirit in us if we are believers. See, Don mentioned to us 2 weeks ago during Pentecost Sunday that Jesus breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. But before we go too far, I want to look back at Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:2 said, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So guess who else was there? The Holy Spirit. So, in the very beginning, when the wind and the waves were formed, that's right, the same Holy Spirit that's living inside of you as a believer was right there. C. Well, let's go with A again. Was we were made in His image, in His likeness. B is we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the third reason we have authority to do this is we ask in faith. We ask in faith. I talk on faith quite a bit when I'm up here. I think it's really important. But let's take a look back at our original text in verse 40. Again, that was... Which version we're using? Mark, I think. Yeah. Mark 4, verse 40. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" He said, no faith. None. Implying that even if they had a little bit, they wouldn't have found themselves in that predicament. See, He wasn't talking about the faith that moves mountains. Just a little bit. Any faith. He said, no faith. It's kind of crazy because they were just talking about it earlier in the day. You don't have to look this one up, I'll do it for you. But you might want to write it down. John 16:24 says, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask, and you will receive. Your joy will be complete." Why is He saying that? When you ask for something and you get it, are you not happy? You're not more miserable than before you asked for it. Unless you're asking for something really bad, I guess that would be silly. But your joy will be complete. John 14:11-13. "Believe Me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, this is a crazy theory that I'm proposing here. Okay? To the average person, who says you can tell the wind and stop? Who says you can tell the rain to stop? Let me ask you, how many of you guys have been to South Dakota? Raise your hand. With us on a trip. Not just meandering through the state. Okay? Quite a few of you. Of you guys, how many of you believe what I'm saying here? You've seen it. Probably more than once. On every trip you've ever taken. You know, people that haven't been there, probably saying, yeah, okay. What evidence do you have that you've actually seen this happen? I happen to bring some evidence with me. Thanks to Patty. See, last year when they went out, we always send a team out ahead of time. Yeah, they buy the food and make the prep work a lot easier for us guys that show up late. And Patty, I was talking to her before just to make sure I had the story fairly straight. And she says, yeah, last year when we went out, it was a little crazy. The weather got really, really nuts. And there was actually a tornado. I don't know if it was a warning or a watch or whatever. Whatever one it was. But anyway, there was a tornado on the way. And Patty's looking at her cell phone. And that's what it looks like up there when they flip the slide over. She's looking at her weather on the cell phone. That red dot is them. The little pin. But the other red dots, well, the purple one is, if you notice, it's all the way to the right of the rain chart. It's because the tornado is whipping around in there. Now, you got one on this side and another one on this side. And there's some green stuff that doesn't look real happy on the top. Now, according to Patty, the storm is coming right for them. But they know that God's bigger than any storm cloud, and they started to pray. That says 9:55 was the time of the screenshot she took. Let's see what the next time was when she looked at her phone again. 20 minutes later, it is not looking much better. Matter of fact, it is right on top of them. Now, before we go to the next slide, if you remember, we went out knowing that a tornado had just hit the town, like the place that we stay. And the girl's trailer was a wreck. No, that was the year before. Year before, sorry. I'm getting my years mixed up. Anyway, we know it can happen because we saw the mangled swing set to prove it. All right, go ahead and flip to the next slide. Now, am I right in saying it never hit you guys? Hung out near you, but didn't affect you. Is that correct? She's shaking her head yes in the back. Thank you. So, what evidence do we have of storms being averted? Well, right there it was. I don't normally get scared. I don't normally get afraid of, I'm not really afraid of much. The only thing I can really ever really be afraid of is when I was a kid, watching like TV show I shouldn't have been watching. It's about some, you know, demon dogs or some crazy horror show I shouldn't have been watching as a kid. And the only time I really would get scared is when the devil would get involved, because I'm like, you can't kill that guy. Like, you can't beat him. Because that's what I thought. How do you kill somebody that's not really there? And I mean, you can't beat this guy. So I would get scared with that as a kid. But as I grew and became a Christian, I knew, yeah, there's a way you can beat him, so it's not a bad deal. Anyway, about a year or two ago, I don't remember exactly the time frame, but I do remember where I was when I got really afraid. I was driving west on Route 80 from somewhere east of here, and I was in our company van, just driving in a bad storm. Storms are not a big deal for me to drive in. I don't mind it. But when the rain was coming down so hard that when it was the wipers were on high, it looks like I needed to turn them on because it wasn't doing a thing. And, I mean, on high in this van, they're whipping back and forth. It did nothing. And then when I saw tree branches flying by in front of me, because the rain was already going sideways, and these tree branches were starting to fly by, I got scared. I really did. I was pretty afraid. And I knew if I pulled over, somebody's going to rear-end me, because you just couldn't see. And all of a sudden, Scripture came to me. And I said, "Wind, be still. Rain, be still." Let me tell you, 15 seconds later, I was driving on dry ground. 15 seconds later, I'm driving on dry ground, no wind. I was like, "God, you're pretty cool." That's pretty neat. And let me tell you what, my faith jumped huge that day. Faith was already really big in me, but I was like, wow, that's real. See, it's not just me, though. A couple weeks ago, Sherry was out in South Dakota and trying to do pre-stuff for the trip that we're going to be taking. And she got back. Everything was fine. She went to visit Bruce and Marcia in White Clay, where we go, and have been having some great success there. But anyway, she was on the phone with Marcia after she had been back. This is a few weeks ago, I guess. Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. She was talking to Marcia because Marcia was like really upset. They're trying to turn the greenhouse, if you've ever been there, into a bunkhouse. And they got to get it done fairly quickly because there's people coming to stay. But now, it is June, so like 2 weeks ago it was May. But there was a huge snowstorm in White Clay like 2 weeks ago. Like, it was snowing crazy snow. And Marcia's like in a panic. She's like, "I don't know what to do. This is going to put us so far behind." Probably doesn't sound like that, but anyway. She was pretty distraught. And Sherry started talking to her. "Oh, there you are. Please stop me if I'm getting any of this wrong," or really wrong anyway. She started telling her, "Look, you need to stand up. You need to do something about this. Okay? Do something about it, Marcia. God's the God of the universe. Stand up. Go out there in a storm and proclaim against this thing that it's going to knock itself off." And she kind of got her fired up a little bit, enough courage to go out and say, "Okay, I'll do this crazy thing." And they hung up because she was going to go outside. Well, somebody got a phone call back like 10 minutes later. Time frame correct or somewhere close? Okay. About 10 minutes later, they get a phone call back and it was Marcia. "The storm stopped. And the sky is as blue as I've ever seen it. I don't know what's going on, but we can, through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, affect things. Don't think that you can't. Don't think that the storms in your life are just there to beat you down. Now, next slide, ask you a serious question. What are the storms in your life right now? What are the storms in your life right now? Today? What did you come in this morning with that on your back, weighing you down? Because see, I believe this, Jesus talked in parables all the time. It wasn't just for them. It was talking about a real storm. But don't we also have real storms in our life that aren't just rain and thunder and lightning? How's your dog doing? Healthy or not so healthy? That can be rough. How's your car running? Let me tell you another story. It happened to me. It's a great day. Honestly, it was probably one of the best days of my life. But even on your best days, you can have some bad moments. See, it was February 19th, 2008. Inch and I were pretty excited. We were at the hospital, and they were real busy. It's the day Gianna was going to be born. We went in, and we knew that Michaela's delivery, labor and delivery didn't last real long. And I was getting with God up until the time that Gianna was going to be born to make sure that happened again. Spare some of that agony that Adam kind of bestowed upon us. Anyway, Gianna was in the process of being delivered. And the midwife and her helper guy was there. And they kept looking over at the monitor. And, you know, because you got all them wires hooked up to you. They kept looking over at the monitor. And I could see all this because I'm standing right beside Angie. She doesn't have the best viewpoint for all this because she's kind of looking at the ceiling. But I noticed they were chit-chatting back and forth a little bit and kept looking at the monitor. And then the guy reaches his hand in a little bit and is trying to do something. I'm not really liking where his hand is, but it's part of the process, I guess. But Gianna, I could tell something was not quite right. And when Gianna was delivered, the guy quick handed me the scissors and said, "Here, go ahead and cut." And they clamped off the cord and I cut. And if you've never done that, let me tell you what, it's a lot harder than you think it's going to be. It's not like cutting through a straw, okay? Anyway, it's different. Get with me some other time. We'll go into that. I'm on recording here. But anyway, I cut the cord and Angie's trying to do her thing. They quick rush her over here and stick her under what I call the fry lamp. Okay? Angie's still trying to do whatever, not really knowing what's going on. I'm praying the whole time. Because, see, she didn't cry yet. So she wasn't breathing. And I knew she was in distress because when she was delivered, the cord was wrapped all the way around her neck. And I knew they knew that was not good. This wasn't just a routine thing. They could tell by the vital signs of the baby that things were not going well at all. I was very peaceful. I remember saying in my prayer to God, God, she's yours. You gave her to us, but she's yours. You do with her what you want, but I'd really appreciate it if you could get her to breathe right now. She started crying. It was about a minute. I can attest that was the longest minute in my life. And again, like I said, it's one of the happiest days of my life. I say that, tell you that story, because that could have been a really stormy day. It's a stormy minute. But to this day, every night when I pray with her, she doesn't know the story. Angie does, only because I told her. To this day, when I pray with her at night, every night, I thank God for breathing life into her. Because Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust in the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. See? I believe he didn't just do that for Adam. I believe he did it for every single being that's alive since then. Let's go to Lester. Lester is now a friend of mine. He's sitting down. I met him last year when we were in White Clay. Same White Clay we were just talking about. I met Lester early in the day because a team of us went out early to do some street ministry. In other words, we walked up and down the street in a town known to have more than their share of alcoholics. And we sat down with them. We sat down next to people on the street because they could barely sit up. And talked to them, shared the good news with them, told them there is hope. Lester was one of the guys I prayed with. He was one of the last people I prayed with before we went back to the where we were going to do ministry that night. And he was kind of gruff, and just we prayed with him and invited him to come. He goes, oh, I can't get down there. I'm in this wheelchair. I can't, because that's a pretty steep hill. You got to get down in there to get the free food and hear the music that was going to go on. He knew about it. He knew they had meals, but he knew he couldn't make it down the hill because he just couldn't get down. And if he got down, he couldn't get back up. So I said, Lester, I tell you what. You come tonight. I'll keep an eye out for you. And if I don't see you, send one of your buddies down to get me, and I'll come get you down the hill, and I'll take you back up when we're done. Lester came, as you can see in the picture there. I had two of my other buddies with me, two of my faith warriors. Because see, what you can't tell in the picture is Lester doesn't have any feet. He had some complications and lost both of his legs from about here down. Definitely above his ankles. But I encouraged him. We all did. And we prayed with him, spoke destiny over his life. I specifically said, look, you're going to be walking next year when I come back here. Okay? I prayed for him to be healed on the spot. Okay? But I said, but by the time I come back here next year, you're going to be walking. When I see you next year, you're going to walk over and shake my hand. And he started to cry. And I don't know why, but at that point I asked him what his last name was. So all I knew was his name was Lester. And he's Native American, so some of them have some really funky names, you know, the way we think. You know, Lester's last name, write this down, please. This is testing my faith right here. Write this down. First name's Lester. Last name, Walking. Lester Walking. I pray for Lester regularly. I have no idea where he is. I have no way to get in contact with him until Tuesday, 3 weeks from now. The rest of the story is, shortly after I asked him what his last name was, a girl from one of the other churches that came that day to do ministry walked up, started talking to him, said, I understand. He's like, what do you mean? She reaches down and takes her leg off. Nothing from here down. And she walked up in a pair of blue jeans, just walked up like normal. You had no idea. She took her leg off and held it out. And he's like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? You just walked over here. And she explained how her prosthesis worked. And he asked if he could touch it because he had never seen one before. So he touched it. Then he started to believe. He started to believe that that could be him. And he could grasp that concept. He could grasp the concept of, I could really walk because that medicine could fix me. He believes in God. And he knew God did miracles. He just couldn't quite grasp the idea that God could do a miracle in his life with his legs. I still believe he's going to be walking on his own two legs. Now, God does things the way I don't understand sometimes. And yes, sometimes when I pray for people, they don't get better because I prayed for them. They get better because they took some medicine that a doctor prescribed or whatever. But I believe Lester's going to be walking when I see him in 3 weeks. If he's not already healed from alcoholism and out of the town. Because that's very possible too. But Don said to us last week as he was speaking, he said, do we pray with the power and authority that has been given to us? Do we? Let me tell you, something I've always wanted since I've been a Christian. If there's one miracle I could see, if there's only one miracle I could see, I want to see somebody grow a limb. And God put Lester and I together that day. Matter of fact, the shirt that I'm wearing, about 2 minutes after that picture was taken, Lester was wearing it. Because he said, that's a neat shirt. I wish I could have one. We didn't have any more. So I gave him mine. We made a real connection that day. And I think it's because I pray with the authority that God has given us. See, are we or are we not sons and daughters of God? Are we or are we not? We are. And if you are the son or a daughter of a king, what does that make you? A prince or a princess. Now, do you think Prince Charles says, I'm a prince, but I can't really do anything about it. I don't have any powers. No, he's next in line to be king. Guess what? We have the same power as a prince of the Most High. Not the same, okay? But we were definitely granted authority, as I've shown you today, that we need to stand up and pray like we actually have it.
Amen.
Now, I don't quote a lot of people that aren't in the Bible very often. But Bill Johnson is a pastor. He's got a decent-sized church, a little bigger than ours. He said, if Jesus is sleeping in your boat, it's not because he's waiting for you to wake him up. And with your wailing or earnest prayers, it's because you have the divine power. It's because you have the divine power. Some teachers teach that God likes to wait until the last minute to intervene and show his sovereignty. They think that it's his cute and clever way of showing us that he's in control the whole time. You hear people say, God's never early or late, but he's always right on time. But God doesn't work that way. See, if he's always intervening at the last minute, Pastor Johnson says, it's often because we didn't use the tools we've been given in the first place. So I ask you again, what are the storms in your life? Use the authority you have been given. That's your last fill-in. Use the authority you've been given. Get back to Lester's slide, please. Thank you. God the Father, I know you hear my prayers. And I'm declaring right now that when we get back, I'm going to see Lester walking. And Lord, I'm believing you're going to grow those legs. But if you've already fixed it, I appreciate that too. God, I know you can do way more than I can ever dream up here. But Lord, I know for sure you can do this. And I know that you said I got the authority to do it. So I'm praying for it right now. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone in this room that agrees with me, say amen.
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 Thank you.
See, the worship team, you can come up. I'm done. The reasons we have this authority, we're made in his image from his likeness. If we look and feel like God, do we not have the same power?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have given it to us if he didn't want us to use it. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That is part of the triune God. Living inside of you if you're a believer. Jesus says we don't have it because we don't ask. So I'm asking God, heal that man.
Yes.
Use the authority you have in you. If you can't do it for yourself, come forward and we'll pray for you. I'm a little fired up today. Amen. I'm done.
Would you stand with us?